Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What's up, everybody? My name's Tom. I'm the host of the BASH Show. How's everybody? No, that's not how I talk. Wait, what's my broadcast voice? Oh, it's more like this. Hey, everybody, it's the BASH Show. What's up? Let's get down, right? Let's do it. It's BASH Show time, a Tuesday night. Got my bestest buddies here with me. Old Pat Byrne checking in. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing good. The phone calls are already rolling in at 201-332-3484.
Look at that. Can you believe that? And then, of course, the ever reliable. He's like the wind. He's like the sun. He's like the moon. It's AP Mike.
How's it going, Tom?
Good. I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Did you say I'm the Iron Man of the BASH Show? I think I'm.
No, you are. You kind of are. Like,
missed like a handful of shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah, I think so. You're like the. You're like the Lou Gehrig, the old Iron, the old Iron Horse. Is that what he was called?
Yeah. I misspoke. Yeah, the Iron Horse.
He goes and does it, or unless you want to be like Iron Man, like a superhero.
No, that was a mistake. Around. No.
A little jetpack. No, well, you're here. I'm here. And tonight, the adventure begins. Finally, it is time to determine the 50 best snacks of all time. And we also will talk about the late, great Charles Grodin, who passed away today, and one of the all-timers. Guy brought it every which way. Nobody was funnier. So that's on the plate. The plate, the table, the plate is on the table. On the table is a plate with those two things on it. So let's do it. It's BASH Show time, and I says, let us begin.
We'll be right back. What's up?
Best show time. How we doing? My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the show and have been for quite a while. I've been the host of the best show for a little bit, is what I can say. A little bit of time I've been the host. And I'm the host tonight. And we're going to work on this 50 greatest snacks of all time. 50 best snacks of all time, sorry. And look, you bring up a topic like this. Everybody thinks they know about music. Everybody thinks they know about snacks. You don't like the and I'm looking on Twitter. Ay. One guy was going off saying he's snack man or something, and the candy is not a snack. Well, maybe not on your list, dude. Over here, candy's a snack. Candy's not a snack. Guy's doing it wrong. You don't know how to make candy a snack? You're doing it wrong.
In the snack aisle and Stop and Shop.
Thank you, Mike. You get it. It's in the snack aisle at Stop and Shop. That's what I should have said to him. It's in the snack aisle at Stop and Shop. We also just heard from King Crimson, mono version of I Talk to the Wind from their debut album. And why'd we play that? Well, of course, because it was Robert Fripp's birthday over the weekend, the great Robert Fripp, who my friend, I guess I could say friend. Is that, I say friend might be a little presumptuous. The guy who read a thing that was purchased to me. For me. But look. That's enough. That's enough of a friend. So it was his birthday. Jason Dudio Gore, who is not with us tonight, he's on assignment. He's, in parts unknown from what I'm hearing. I think he might be doing a investigative report. He might be, he's been working a lot with the Project Veritas people, which he is one of his enthusiasms is infiltrating liberal organizations with a little hidden camera action. And I think he might have a mission that he's on right now. So
it's quite an assignment.
Yeah, he's got his work cut out for him. Yeah, so everybody thinks they know what they're talking about with snacks. That is not a snack. I've never understood when people are like, Mike, you ever see these people with pizza when they're like, well, I don't know why I'm talking about pizza. You got awful taste in pizza. You're the guy. Mike likes this pizza.
Oh, yeah, I don't like upside down pizzas. Yeah, that's my big knock.
Well, turn it upside down, Mike. Turn it upside down. It'll be right side up
pizza. Slide the cheese off while you're at it.
Yeah. No, but Mike, you're more cut out of the, you wish that all pizza was cafeteria style from in like fifth grade when be pizza day at school and you get this heat lamp pizza, which.
No, actually I'm quite spoiled with the pizza in Bayonne. Some great pizza places in Bayonne.
But everybody with pizza has like people draw absolutes with pizza where they're like, pizza with pineapple on it, that's not pizza. It's like, well, I got some bad news for you. It is pizza that happens to have pineapple on it. Maybe you don't want it, but it's still pizza.
To each his own with toppings. To each his own.
Thank you, Mike. Everybody, whatever you want on a pizza, you put it on pizza. You want to put hot sauce on your pizza? Go ahead, put hot sauce. You want a pizza with no cheese on it? That's fine. Whatever you want. You go do whatever you want. God forbid, an upside down pizza. Can you believe that they'd put the sauce under the cheese?
Top.
What's that?
It's on top of the cheese.
That's on top of the cheese. I don't know. I don't mind it. That's what I just thought it was like, It's good.
Makes it screwy.
It's screwy. This guy can't.
I mean, it's the same ingredients. Like, why mess with a great thing?
They're just playing around with it. What's wrong? Look.
Style over substance.
I'll say this, and Pat can back me up on this. I didn't see you holding back.
No, it was all right. The ingredients are there.
You ate that stuff like a rabid dog, just like the rest of us.
You're inching up on that famous.
What's that, Pat?
Mike's getting closer to that. It's like sex argument with pizza, which I hate when people say that.
No, I've never uttered those words in my life.
Okay, good. I thought you were.
Yeah, I don't want to hear whatever. I don't even know what this point is. I don't want to know.
It's not good. I it's a cliche that I dislike.
Yeah, I know. I could figure it out. It's probably something that's all fine or something, right?
Yes, it's like a...
Even bad stuff is good stuff.
Yeah, I hate it.
Whatever. It's troubling.
Now I feel bad I even brought it up.
I know. You brought it. You put it in my head now.
Put it in the head. It's on the table. It's ruining everything.
Yeah. So, look, I'll say this. These people got their opinions of pizza. They got their opinions of candy. This one guy, I'm looking on Twitter. I'll trace through it on Twitter right now. What's this guy's name? Corn Dog. Cake and pie are not snacks. Like these absolutes. Candy is not a snack. And then he says this. Some people know me as the snacking dude. Candy is not a snack. Might call in tonight and set the record straight. Then he adds on a second. Candy is not a snack. Guy's got 7 followers, and you're one of them.
proud to be one of his 7 followers.
7. And you're one of them.
Yeah, okay. You'd only have 6 without me.
You'd only have 6.
Lucky
today.
7. I'm lucky 7.
Guy knows.
Maybe he's one of these hard-nosed guys, you know, bar snacks. You know, you can't put candy on a bar for people to snack on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he's got some sort of definition in his head, you know, like what can I eat at a bar as a snack? You know, you're not going to put candy on the bar. Although I've seen that around Halloween, people in masses, they'd eat anything you put on the bar. You know,
can you imagine, Pat, you go to masses and there's a candy bowl out on the thing.
Yes, I can imagine.
Can you imagine scooping in there, just shoveling it in your mouth?
No.
What is it, candy corn?
I can't imagine
what's in the
that.
Bowl.
Yeah,
what's in
various
the bowl
things, you know, over the years. But, you know, we gave out to the kids. The kids would come in.
Loose? Not.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, like
loose.
The little minis.
The minis, yeah.
Yeah, minis.
Yeah, not like standard. A loose bowl of.
What do you drop in their bag? A hard-boiled egg?
A donut?
Bar food?
A donut? Those were the worst, right? Somebody throw a donut in your bag? I mean, like, why, you know?
On Halloween.
Cinnamon all over your candy?
Bag of pennies.
You drop pennies.
Pennies
you drop.
Dumb.
You drop an apple. I don't care. I don't care. Just drop it in the. What matters is you drop it in the bag. But yeah, everybody thinks they know what they're talking about tonight. But all the unanswered aspects of this will be answered with this top 50 best snacks of all time list. What's one you want to see on the list, Mike?
I mentioned this on Twitter the other night in response to one of your tweets about Wawa.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've discovered at Wawa that I'm quite fixated on is the chocolate-covered almonds. Have you aware of those, Tom?
Well, I've had chocolate-covered almonds. I don't know what – are the Wawa ones unique?
I guess I'm not even sure if it's a different brand. But it, you know, it comes in a nice sort of clear plastic container. You get a fair amount of them. They're big. I mean, they're quite addictive.
Well, I know the ones you're talking about. You're talking about those ones that look like it looks like the most kind of like artisanal thing that Wawa would sell. Looks like someone in the back might be filling some containers with that stuff with a scoop. Where they got the peach. They got the peach gummy rings. Mm-hmm. They got the nuts. They got all that stuff, and they put them in the little container. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Good.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So you say chocolate-covered almonds, Mike. you're going to kick the list off. And Pat, are we able to do the list tonight?
We are. And yeah, I've been multitasking a little, but I'm going to put this up in, kind of right below or on top of the 50 top mascots to keep it simple. Okay. I'm just going to change the name of the list to be easy.
Sounds good.
So that will
I'll say, I'll say this then.
Yeah.
44 for chocolate covered almonds.
Okay.
You're on the board. Mike, you are on the board. And Pat.
50, yeah.
Pat, do you have a snack?
Hold on. Chocolate covered almonds is 44, right?
44, yes. For Derek Coleman, the great Derek Coleman, the New Jersey Nets, power forward, who coined.
Also
one of the all time great phrases. Whoopty damn do.
That's right. A lot of listeners asked, if we would post the top 50 mascots somewhere, and we will. We'll put them up on the homepage soon. I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet, but we'll.
It'll go up. Yeah. Don't be sorry.
We'll put both lists up when they're completed.
Don't be sorry. They got enough entertainment. They can handle that the list wasn't up yet.
Yes.
You don't apologize for that, Pat. You have nothing to apologize for. I don't have nothing to apologize
for. You're right.
We're doing the best we can. And I want to say this. Some guy, Charles Gross, said tweeting at me, saying Charles Grodin didn't have any range. He played the same guy every time. Oh, that's interesting. You also played the same guy every time. Every successful actor except for like four of them. Yeah, go say that to Cary Grant. Or Clark Gable.
What bothers me about that argument is, you know, I don't like the term character actor. I think all actors are character actors. But mm-hmm. The ones who aren't labeled character actors do exactly what you just said. They play the same character all over and over, right?
Yeah.
And somehow they're like a notch higher than something called a character actor. And I'm using quotes here. Like, that's, it should be the other way around. Characters, actors, quote unquote, have more range. They play different things. But like,
thank you.
But Charles Grodin, I mean, you were the first person I thought of. Condolences, I know, you know.
Of course. He
have range. He was a comedic, brilliant actor.
He was in Rosemary's Baby. He's in Beethoven. He's in Clifford. He's in Midnight Run. He's in all these things. He's covering so much ground. You don't have any range. First of all, you figure a thing out. You're doing it perfectly. You don't need range. There's your range. That is your range. It's not even that you don't need range. You got range. It's called the range of me doing the thing I do best. That's the range. Play the same guy every time. Good. I'm glad. I wanted as much of it as I could get. I don't know what these people want these days. They're going to say, I don't have range next. I do the same thing every week. Well, I do actually, so that makes sense. That'd be fair. Now let's jump right into it. How about you got a call for me, Pat?
Yes, I was gonna say real quick for Wawa. I was gonna say my go-to is soft pretzel at Wawa.
A soft pretzel.
On your way out the door, I mean, I know it's like saying cheeseburger at a diner.
Oh no! I'm just saying, Pat.
Yeah.
Soft pretzel.
Yeah.
That's number 19 on the list.
Gotta be high. Yeah. As far as all-time favorites, though, I love like a fresh baked brownie. Nothing in it. No chocolate chips. No walnuts. No anything else. Just the brownie batter cooked to perfection. Always hits the spot.
Drop a scoop of ice cream on top of that thing.
Yeah, vanilla maybe. That's right. A home run.
Brownie. We'll put a brownie. We'll figure out where brownies go on it. Brownies will go somewhere.
19 for soft pretzel, or should I say Wawa pretzel?
You say soft pretzel.
Soft prezzy. All right, we got full phones.
Let's do it. Here we go. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Gabe from York, PA.
Gabe from York, PA. What's up, Gabe?
Not much. What's up with you? How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. We're talking about snacks. How could I not be good?
Yeah, that's true.
Tell me about a snack you like, Gabe.
Oh, I've been thinking about this all day. I really like Cheetos.
Cheetos.
Yeah. Regular Cheetos, old Cheetos.
I don't know. I don't know if Cheetos make this list.
Fried or puffed?
What was that?
Fried or puffed?
Fried.
Do like a tight Cheeto, one that's got some crunch to it. Very dense, yeah. Right? You don't like those.
That's right.
You don't like those Gary. Fluffy Cheetos, those aerated Cheetos.
No, they don't taste as good.
You like a Flamin' Hot Cheeto, perhaps? Or just a straight Cheeto?
Just a straight Cheeto. I can't handle any sort of spice. I just have no taste for spice at all.
Mm-hmm. What's the spiciest thing you ever ate that you liked, Gabe?
Ooh. This is going to sound really dumb, but the little barbecue chips and party mix or whatever they are, those are kind of spicy to me.
To you,
but
those are
they're
yeah. What's your favorite food? Mashed potatoes,
mac and cheese.
What else do you like? Chicken tenders.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that old 8-year-old palate, huh?
Yep.
Old Gabe's still eating like a little kid.
Yeah.
Right?
My favorite go-to meal when my wife goes out with her friends is to make myself a box of Velveeta mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. That's my gourmet dinner.
Well, it's not a gourmet dinner. It's, I know you're calling it a gourmet dinner, ironically, but I'm even going to take that off the table for you. You can't, it's not gourmet. It's,
Hi everybody, Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
You wouldn't even put a little, what if you put like a splash, a teeny tiny little splash of hot sauce on that mac and cheese? And mix it all in, and that way it's distributed so much, it would only add the faintest kick. No?
I guess that would be okay. Have you ever had mustard in mac and cheese?
No. What's that one?
It's really good.
You invent
gives
that?
It's a nice tang. No.
That's some weird thing your family does?
Yeah.
That should be a topic. What's the weird thing your family does that makes no sense to anybody else? You know what I mean?
I'm adding that to the list.
What's that, Pat?
I'm adding that to the topic list. That's a great
thank
idea.
You. Thank you. I think we got a good one there. Yeah. You ever hear about mustard and mac and cheese?
I haven't, but I mean, I know for a fact and a lot of people do this, if you add fancy spices, to any mac and cheese, it's a little hack. It makes the meal much sadder.
It makes it sadder.
Yeah, it makes it much sadder. People don't know that, but it's.
Because you're trying to turn.
Trying to make.
Something, you're working hard to turn something that ain't gonna turn into something. Into something.
That's my takeaway.
All right. I hear you. Well, my friend, mac and cheese ain't making that list.
What about Chex Mix? Or more specifically, I like the little rye chips inside of the Chex Mix.
No, that's not getting on the list. Are you kidding? We got 50 slots. Might seem like a lot. It's not that much. To where we're going to put rye Chex Mix on the list?
I think they should go number one.
Well, that's your list, Gabe. Gabe's top 50 snack list. Rye Chex Mix, number one. Macaroni and mac and cheese, Velveeta mac and cheese with a little bit of mustard thrown in. Oh, Gabe. Gabe, we gotta get it. We gotta break some of these patterns for you, my friend.
What's something you like?
What's something I like?
Yeah.
Almond Snickers bar.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. That's why it's number four on the list.
I haven't been listening. I'm sorry, Tom.
No, I just declared that now. I'm declaring it now, Gabe. All right, Gabe. All the best to you and yours and all your future endeavors. You have a grand evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
I have a question for balancing the list. We have 50 slots. Are you going to accept, and the callers should know this, are you going to accept, like, is one bag of chips going to represent chips, or are you going to accept, like, you know, if somebody suggests, like...
I think we got to get specific with it, and that's why I think your initial query was, I answered it incorrectly. Let's put down Wawa soft pretzel. Let's plant a flag with some of these snacks.
I agree. I mean,
is that soft pretzel? You eat a soft pretzel from a New York, cart?
Way. Yeah.
It's the worst thing you ever have in your life.
It's like a 10% chance it's going to be good. And
it's usually burnt,
hard,
cold, and hard. And it's like, the worst part is that they're like, sometimes they're half warm and half cold.
Yeah. No, I could never leave a Wawa, like paying at a register, paying for gas, you know, with the ones with gas stations, or just going in to get an iced tea or something, sandwich. I'm paying for whatever. I see that thing at the register. I buy it no matter what.
I gotcha, Pat. I gotcha. I agree. Wawa soft pretzel, number 19.
You don't know when you're going to be in a Wawa again. Might as well get it. But pick up the soft pretzel on the way in.
And now all these people are high on Wawa because of whatever that show is on HBO.
I don't even know about that.
Well, there's a show, Mayor of Winningham?
Mayor of Easttown.
Easttown.
Yeah, Kate Winslet had an orgasm, I guess, when she went to a Wawa.
All right, take it easy. So
it's kind of like, that was newsworthy, apparently. Yeah. She'd never been to a Wawa before.
Yeah. Now, she never went to a Wawa to go in, and then are all excited. Then there's these articles, who'd eat what at Wawa from the show. First of all, I haven't seen this show. I don't know if it's any good or not. I've seen people say it's good. Of course, Mike just said it's not, because I've generally seen people say it's good. So, old Seesaw over there. Mike's good for the Seesaw.
Give it a shot.
No, he's good.
I'll give things a shot.
No, of course you will. Of course you will. Of course you will. But yeah, it's like a seesaw. I like it. I don't. That's what it takes to make the seesaw work.
I'd like to hear your opinion, Tom, because, you know, it's a fairly grim show, crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start throwing in some comic relief. And I'd be interested.
Like what? Somebody at the Wawa, they're cleaning the bathroom and they can't get in? Well, they got to get past that yellow sign blocking the door?
Old Mayor's mom is just a cut-up. You know, she's a cut-up.
Okay. Well, I'll check it out. But everybody's all high on Wawa. Listen, it's like, yeah, no kidding. Oh, my God, there's a place called Wawa. And then it's like, now there's going to be all this exotic... people exoticizing Wawa, where they're like, we went to a Wawa. I ordered a sandwich just like Kate Winslet ate on the show. It was charming.
The cocktail crab.
Get lost. Get lost. I'd be a come out. You find your car got rolled into the street. That's how you're talking at a Wawa. I don't hope it gets rolled into the street. Hope you come out and there's some hoodlum sitting on the hood of your car eating a hoagie. You could be like, oh, excuse me, do you mind?
Oh, we're actually trying to get back into our car, and we'd appreciate it if you didn't eat your sandwich on the hood of the car.
No, but people are getting too into, like, Wawa, that's a way of life. That ain't no tourist thing to be like, ooh, so this is how they live, huh? Snobs. Meanwhile, the high-end stuff, everybody gets all high-end with everything. Like, oh, there's a place out here called, I can't remember what the place is called. But it was like a place, it's like artisanal jelly. And then somebody goes in the back room, starts snapping photos of the place, and they find this mold all over the jelly. And you're like, wait, this place is expensive. This is the good stuff. And this is what it's like back there. I'll trust a Wawa over there. Wawa, they're scrubbing that place down. Wawas are clean for the most part. There's a couple dank Wawas out there, but
dimly lit.
Yeah, on the whole, they're well lit and clean.
Do you have a
once
favorite
in a while? Wawa? There's a filthy Wawa.
Do you guys have a favorite Wawa?
Yeah, I like the Wawa that's I like the Wawa whenever I would leave Philadelphia. There was a Wawa in South Jersey that I would hit that I enjoyed.
Cherry Hill?
I don't know if it was in Cherry Hill. Somewhere around there. It might have been Cherry Hill.
I got a favorite. Number one favorite would be the Wildwood, New Jersey Wawa, which has like a really cool wavy neon sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they put a Wawa there, it probably replaced like something that looked like that because they have all those doo-wop motels, they call them down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just made it look like, you know, it's like a 1960s sign version of a modern Wawa. It's kind of cool. It's pretty big too.
I like it. And I say this, that's the Wawa where you go there and you get all the people are like shore trash coming in. Not even the shore trash. People abusing the shore come in. They go down to that Wawa. They go in with a cooler, start trying to fill it up with ice over at the soda station.
Yeah.
They don't show respect to the Wawa. Act like that Wawa is your Wawa.
Respect the Wawa.
Respect the Wawa. Thank you, Pat.
I'm new to a Wawa game, but I have access now to two within a mile of each other.
Yeah.
On Route 9, there's one on the southbound and one on the northbound.
What's weird that's happened is there was like a Jersey Dixon line with Wawas and Quick Check, and if you were like north of the Jersey Dixon line, then you would be in Quick Check country. And then they never crossed over until a few years ago you started seeing them pop up.
Look, Quick Check is amazing, but it ain't no Wawa. It ain't no Wawa at Quick Check. Quick Check allows for too much freestyling, I feel. The owners can put their own spin on a freestyle. Quick Check. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go to a Quick Check. You go to Quick Check. Somebody could be there deciding they're going to sell macrame at the Quick Check. They'll do whatever they want. They'll be selling term life insurance. In the corner of the Quick Check. A little bit of a freestyle to Quick Check that I don't love. I need that Wawa structure to bring it home. You got any other calls, Pat?
Full phones.
1 through 5, eh?
Mm-hmm.
How about you give me 3 and then 5?
You got it.
Besho, hi.
Hey. Hey,
who's this?
This is Connor from New Haven, Connecticut.
Connor from New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Connor?
I'm just hanging out, listening to the best show, trying to relax. How are you, Tom? What's going on? Doing your show?
Good, I'm good. What are you doing to relax?
I'm eating a little New Haven pizza, which is kind of a stereotype in Connecticut, but had some Sally's of pizza. Not a snack. But I got a few ideas for that.
Give me an idea for a snack.
All right. So, okay. So I'll keep the list short. I got one that's definitely a snack and one that is arguably an appetizer, but it's a snack to me.
Let's try.
The first, smart food. That's a snack. The cheesy popcorn stuff.
Wait, smart food, like the ones that are like the cheesy popcorn things. Yeah. Are they really top 50, you think?
You know, it's because they always, they over-deliver every time you eat them. I don't crave smart food, but when I eat it, I remember it. It's delicious.
Okay. I don't know if
it's that works better. All
right. I think we can do better than top 50 for...
All right. Crab Rangoon.
No. Crab Rangoon. What are we putting? Are we going through a time machine here?
What?
Crab Rangoon. What are you going to have next? What are you going to have next?
Poo poo platter.
What are you going to have next? The weird pork chop dinner next?
An appetizer.
Crab Rangoon.
All right.
Is that like, it's like a cream cheese filled in a thing.
Yeah. Look, yeah.
Buddy, yeah. We're not doing the appetizer list.
All right. Fritos.
Save that for our show we're doing in August. The 500 greatest appetizers of all time.
Okay.
It's a 75-part series.
I appreciate your time, Tom.
Of course. I appreciate everything you do. And I want to ask you one question, my friend.
Yeah. What's that?
You going to buy my book?
Bought three.
What's that?
I bought three.
You bought three? Three copies?
Yep.
Well, my friend,
two for two of my best men to listen to the show.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say this. Crab Rangoon, when we do that appetizer list, get ready.
All right. Connor's calling in about that Crab Rangoon.
Connor and his Crab Rangoon. Thanks Connor. Bud. Next call, please. Okay, what is going on here? Oh, I know who this is. I hear.
Hang on. Let me turn down the tunes.
I hear. Yeah. Don't worry. I know. I hear Grateful Dead playing in the background, and I hear bong hits going down. Can only be. Bryce Prefontaine.
Yeah. You gotta guess what venue that was and what year.
Guess what venue there was? Bryce, right, I can't.
First year. Just do the year, man. Come on, geez. You can just
77. 77.
Oh, no, so close. A little earlier, man. A little
74.
Earlier.
74.
Yeah, 74. Yeah, Portland.
Oh, you're Portland 74. And what song was that?
Oh, what? Are you nuts? China Cat Sunflower.
Okay, China Cat Sunflower.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, it's never been my scene. The Dead have never been my scene, Bryce. But I love that you have that and that you still love it so much.
It's my raison d'etre. Didn't know I knew Spanish, did you?
I still don't know that you know Spanish. What have you been up to, buddy?
Oh man, oh, what a year, Tom! You talk about life changes. I had plenty of them. Are you strapped in?
I am strapped in.
I got married.
Hold on. Bryce, you got married?
I did. I got married on March 17th, 2020, which admittedly was a weird choice of a day to get married. But, you know, because pretty much the next day everything closed down. But, you know, my wife and I, we were under the gun, literally.
You were under the gun, literally?
Yeah, it was crazy stuff. And I mean, you know me. I've only ever lived in a lean-to for most of my adult life. So to go from the flagrant freedom of almost total outdoors living to immediate indoor quarantine for 9 months, that was quite a head spinner, man. That was a real change of lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, you know, I can't imagine. I can't, Bryce, I gotta say, it is a mind blower for somebody like you who was always such a free spirit to picture you getting married and settling down.
I know, man. Same here, you know, especially to a devout Mormon woman. I mean, that's a mind blower too. But you know, like Jerry said, life is very weird, man. Very weird, man. Man, it's weird, man. That's the exact quote.
That's what Jerry said?
Yeah.
Life is very weird, man. And he said it three more times?
No, well, he did a variation. He said, very weird, man. And then he said, man, it's weird, man.
Okay. Well, look, I don't want to... I'm. Jerry was very wise in that regard. Life is very weird.
That's right, man.
So where did the two of you meet?
Oh, man, well, check it out. Dolores was out doing her Mormon charity work one morning, and she came across me sleeping off a power nug bender under that bench next to the statue of Donald Most in front of Latin Foot Locker. You know where that is, right?
Oh, absolutely. I love that. I love that statue of Donald Most.
It's a fun spot. So... basically, she thought I was a person of the streets. She didn't know that I was a person of the woods. And so when I showed her where I lived, and she couldn't believe that I chose to live in a lean-to.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, then we really hit it off. And, you know, when we got together, it was a real odd couple situation. You know, like that TV show that Jack Klugman was in,
mm-hmm.
Quincy.
Hold on, wait. You said it was an odd couple situation, like the show Jack Klugman starred in, and then you said what?
Quincy!
Well, that's a huge... Bryce, the show that Jack Klugman starred on that was an odd couple situation was The Odd Couple.
No, man, with Quincy... The whole thing about Quincy is it's about how different Quincy and his boss, Dr. Robert Aston, were.
I don't know if that was the primary thrust of what Quincy was about.
No, I think maybe you're right. Maybe it was Quincy and his assistant, Sam Fujiyama.
And what's the assistant's name?
Well, he's Asian, so his name was Sam Fujiyama.
Okay, well, I gotta say...
not too offensive, right?
Well, it's the guy's name, but it's like, it's not, none of it's offensive. You're just wrong with it. But look, whatever. That's neither here nor there. What I just would say about your situation now is that it seems like it must be a real challenge, like a real struggle for two very different people.
Oh, man, you're telling me. And you know what, man? She didn't know that I puffed tough.
Hold on.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that you puff tough.
Do you have any idea how much of a Herculean effort it is for me to hide my gargantuan ganjin intake? I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah, that would be completely impossible because your whole existence is tied to pot smoking. So I can't even imagine the lengths you'd have to go to hide that from somebody.
Oh, man. It got so bad, I was rolling around in fetid mulch to camouflage the smell of stale Chiba all over me. Dolores didn't even want me to come in the house when I came home stinking like that. Man, it was something else.
Yeah, I can only imagine, Bryce. Now, you said something to the effect that you were under the gun when you got married?
Yeah.
Was this one of those legendary shotgun weddings?
It was, literally. Her dad was so furious when he found out that Dolores had a fun bun.
Okay. Wait, what she had what?
A fun bun? That's a baby.
What? Hold on.
You've never heard that term?
A fun bun. No, that's a shocker to me.
Okay, well, anyway, so he got so mad, he flew out to Newbridge from Provo, and he made sure we got married. But it wasn't a shotgun, but he did have a Luger trained on me during the ceremony, which was officiated by Officer Harris, who also had his gun on me.
So you had two guns pointed at you while you got married.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, I bet.
Bryce, this is shocker after shocker.
Well, get ready, because you're going to get shocked harder than Ace Frehley, because I lost my train of thought. Yeah, he had that song called Shock Me, remember?
Yeah, he had a song called Shock Me, and that was one of the... Do people trade Kiss tapes the way they trade dead tapes and live recordings?
I think they do, only it's different for them, because it's like... Oh man, if you thought the bass playing was ham-fisted on Houston the first night, check out the second night.
So people are celebrating the bad parts of it.
Oh yeah, you hear how much he slows down on Dr. Love? And then the next night he plays it way too fast. Peter's got some issues this weekend.
They have the simplest music imaginable, and it's a constant struggle for them to even perform that.
It is. Oh, man, I think this is where Ace fell. Oh, man, but check this out. So after 9 months of being married, I go up to Dolores and I go, so where's the baby? You're not even showing.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, well, you know, it's a tiny baby. It's going to pop out any day now. Just don't worry about it. And then it dawned on me, Tom. I realized that we never actually had full-on sex ever. So that was weird. And then I came to the conclusion that Dolores was after all my money.
Hold on. Your money. I mean, yeah. No offense, Bryce, but you're the most broke guy I've ever met.
Oh, man, didn't I ever tell you this? I'm the sole heir to the Prefontaine margarine fortune.
What?
Yes.
No.
I am.
I never knew this. Prefontaine margarine is like the third biggest export in Newbridge after Kernco's mini pancake grill and Kern Fun's toilet tetherball game.
We're coming up on that toilet tetherball game, man. We're going to overtake him. We are.
You're going to catch up?
Absolutely. People are really tiring of toilet tetherball, if you ask me.
You think it's a more of a fad?
I think it's run its course, yeah. Like the Thompson twins?
Like the Thompson twins?
Yeah.
The Thompson twins, toilet tetherball. It's all one big fad. What's that?
It's all one big fad, man.
It's all one big fad, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Prefontaine margarine is not a fad.
No, big stuff, big time. Hey, so it turns out this whole marriage thing was an elaborate scam. Do you believe that?
That's bizarre.
It was. See, Dolores' dad was actually her boyfriend pretending to be her dad. It was just like Bo Derek and Rob Lowe in that movie, Tommy Boy.
Okay. So it's ripped from the headlines.
Totally, yeah. So I go to West Eastbridge for a quickie divorce, and they granted it under the flagrant deception statute. They even refer to it as the Tommy Boy statute.
Really?
They do, yeah. The judge there is a big movie nerd, and he even did that restaurant scene from Tommy Boy before he issued the divorce. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The restaurant scene.
All right, I'll lay it out for you. So they get in this big argument, Farley and Spade, and then Spade slaps Chris Farley in the face, and then they go and they sit down in a restaurant. And then Farley goes, Richard, is there a mark on my face? And at this point, we can only see one side of Chris's face. That's fine. And then he goes, Spade goes, I don't see anything. And he goes, no, I think it's not so much here or here, but right here. And then we see that side of the face, and there's a giant, like, handprint on his face.
Mm-hmm. No, you like that, huh?
I like when a judge does it too.
Yeah, no, it's great when a judge starts working in the field of comedy. I think that's maybe what the bench has been missing, has been kind of an injection of movie references.
I think you're right. But you know, now that marriage is over, everything is great now, and all is even more right with the world than it was before that nightmare.
Well, how are things even more right now then?
Because as of last month, Officer Harris can no longer bust my ass for partaking of the sacrament.
Yes, okay. You're talking about because recreational marijuana is now legal in the state of New Jersey.
Well, it's always been legal in my mind, but yes, technically now it is. And you know who you're talking to right now?
Who am I talking to?
The new king of New Jersey weed.
You're the king of New Jersey weed.
Yeah, I'm going to open up the Taj Mahal of dispensaries.
Well, I got to say that is quite a claim when you think about the Taj Mahal, which is one of the most impressive and monumental structures on Earth.
Wait, what? No, man, I meant my store is going to be as good at selling weed as Taj Mahal is at playing that stank blues.
Oh, okay, you're talking about the musician Taj Mahal.
Yeah, from the Rock and Roll Circus.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to email you a photo of Mississippi Half Step Uptown Toodle Dispensary. That's the name of my place. It's pretty great, right?
Wait, what is the name of your place?
Mississippi Half Step Uptown Toodle Dispensary.
Mm, okay. Well, it's a name. It's on brand.
It is. All right, so I'm going to send this right now. You still at MrFahrenheit@yahoo.com?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just send it.
Okay, let me check. I'm done. Wow. Yeah, no, this is a real place. Very nice. Very nice. It's kind of designed, your dispensary has a look, it's designed like a lean-to?
Yeah, but like a high-class one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is nice. You have displays everywhere. You got a counter. Yeah, this is a real place. You got is that a mural in the back of, is that Jerry?
It's Jerry and Trey.
Yeah. No, that's cool. And I didn't know they smoked weed together, but that's what they're doing in this mural. Is that real? Is that based on a photo or something?
It's based on a fantasy of mine.
Okay. Oh, wait, and they're blowing the smoke into your face.
Yes, yes.
That's what that, okay, now I get what that is, because I saw you, and now I see what that is. That's cool.
I was a little disappointed in the rendering the artist did of me. I thought I could have looked a little cooler, but, you know.
Well, no, it looks like you, though. It's pretty accurate.
Thank you. All right, well, thank you. Thanks. So, like, I'm super excited about this, and I got all kinds of exciting new strains that I designed with Hippie Johnny and his master weed growers.
Mm-hmm. Like, what strains do you have that you've been developing?
Oh, man, we got Psychotic Meltdown, Up on Crippler Creek, Dabney's Coleman. The logo of Dabney's Coleman is me offering dabs to two coal miners.
Okay.
And we also got Creature from the Dank Lagoon, A Touch of Grape Ape, Streetwalking Chiba, The Nug Zone, and my favorite, Sativa Night Fever.
Wow, that's wild. Those are some cool names.
They're fun. Hey, just for, out of curiosity, what kind of strains do you or your friends enjoy? Maybe I could incorporate those with my strains.
Oh, well, that's a good question. There's a few. Off the top of my head, William F. Bakley, Cloudy with a Chance of Weed Balls, Jeff Skunk Baxter, The Weed Strain, Chocolate Robot, Emerson Lake and Palmer and Kush, Orange Rogan Flotation Tank, Strain of Zorn, Funky Cold My Weeda, Mighty Mighty Sativa Tones, Henry Portrait of a Marijuana Smoker, This Joint Is Everything, and Herbie the Love Bud.
Oh, man, those all sound scrumptious. We got to work out a deal, man. You got to hit me to who makes those, and I'll cut you in for, like, I don't know, 1%?
Well, 1%'s a little low.
1.4?
Still a little low, Bryce.
I can't go above 2.3%.
Well, look, we'll negotiate this. We'll see if there's anything to negotiate, and then we'll figure all this out. This is not the time.
All right, that's cool. And look, I know I haven't really applied myself to, let's be honest, anything in my life other than amassing the East Coast's biggest collection of rat dog bootlegs, but I do feel like this is my true calling. I even got a weed cat for the store.
A weed cat?
Yes.
What is a weed cat?
Oh, it's just this cool cat, you know, to kind of, like, just roam around the store creating a vibe, you know? A weed cat. Uh-huh.
Well, that's cool. You got a weed cat. Okay, I get it. Did you get it at an animal shelter?
No, I got it from the breeder.
I didn't know there were breeders for just, like, house cats.
Oh, no, man. Helpslip Frank isn't a house cat. He's a tiger.
Hold on. You have a tiger in your store?
Yeah. He's cool.
Well, that sounds incredibly dangerous, though.
Oh, come on, man. You've watched too many Netflix shows about tigers. They don't bite everybody.
Uh-huh. But they bite some people.
Well, I guess it's a game of... If you're playing a game of percentages, then yeah.
And what is the situation with the tiger? Like, where is this tiger?
Well, right now he's... Oh, no. You know what? I've left him in the dispensary, and I don't know if I left any meat out for him. Oh, crap.
Okay. What's that going to mean?
Oh, man. I think it's... Hopefully he don't sample any of the edibles, that sort of stuff, because that could be a bad scene. Then he actually might bite someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that would be bad. That would be bad. That would be very dangerous. Well, first of all, it's bad for the tiger. Tigers aren't supposed to just be eating edibles.
Yeah, maybe you're right about that.
Yeah, and it's also bad for the customers that they might... I mean, when business is open, the tiger is where?
Kind of roaming around. He does have a rope leash around his neck if I need to grab it.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that'll take care of everything then.
I thought it was a cool idea too.
No, I'm being sarcastic. If the tiger starts mauling somebody, you grabbing the rope leash around the tiger's neck isn't going to do anything.
Oh, well, you never know. My forearms are getting really big lately. Hey, look, man, you know, I gotta go because my first shipment from Hippie Johnny's Weed Farm is due in like 20 minutes, all right? I gotta get ready.
Okay, all right.
All right. Well, listen, I think there's only one way we can end this conversation tonight, right?
Yeah, I think we might be on the same page with that.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Well, you never mentioned that you had a nephew. You never mentioned you had a nephew.
I love my nephew.
Well, what's his name?
I want to say Mason.
That's right. The great Charles Grodin. Bryce? Oh, and he hung up. Okay. Well, it's a surprisingly tasteful way for Bryce to go out. He wasn't being shot at or attacked. I don't know. What are we going to do now? Wrap it up? Are we done? Done with the show? No, we're not done. We're going to do a shorter show tonight. I'll say this. I've been recording this audio book because I have a book coming out in July, July 6th. It Never Ends. A memoir with nice memories comes out through the Abrams Books putting it out. And it's a real book. This is not some pamphlet or some, it's not a fanzine. It's a real book. I worked on it for a long, long time. I'm also going to say this. This ain't no piece of garbage comedy book. The way some of these books, these bums write. It's legit. It's legit. And you go to TomWroteABook.com. You want to pre-order this thing? You go to TomWroteABook.com. There's a list of places you can pre-order it. Big and small alike are there. And we're putting things together for the book. There's going to be bookstore things happening and other things happening. And if you want to contact me if you want to do something like any, and again, I said, I'll do an interview. I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to the newsletter at a senior citizen's home. I'll talk to them. No, I'm not discriminating size wise. I'm going to try to talk to anybody because I got to sell this thing. It's a good book. It's the raison d'être, to quote, the French of, Bryce Prefontaine. It's my raison d'etre. I gave this thing everything. I gave my best, and I guess my best was good enough. So here's the deal. You go there, you pre-order it, and guess what? I'm going to tell you what's coming up shortly. Very soon, we're going to have up on that site something a little exciting. And what's that? Well, anybody who pre-orders the book, we're going to have a little book plate, a signed book plate available to everybody who pre-orders the book. And it's going to be up on over at TomWroteABook.com. There's going to be more information on it very soon. Doesn't matter where you pre-order it from. You pre-order the book. There's going to be a signed book plate that you're going to get. The details will be over at tomwroteabook.com very soon. So hang tight, check the site, pre-order the book, and then go do your thing and get your book plate signed by yours truly. Pat, we got any calls?
Line two.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
What's up?
Oh,
who's this?
This is Woody from Rochester, New York.
Woody from Rochester, New York. Boy, Woody, I bet you loved when you found out that the puppet in the Toy Story was named Woody also. That must have been a great day, huh?
That was the greatest time. I can't even tell you how wonderful it's just enriched my life. You know what? Before I even saw the movie, people mm-hmm. were doing like the pull the string, quotes from the Woody Bell. And I didn't know what they were talking about. It was very confusing. And then I saw the movie and I'm like, oh, okay. So this is the rest of my life now.
Well, I ain't going to do that to you. I ain't going to do that to you, Woody.
I appreciate that.
There are other great Woodies out there. Woody Guthrie, for example.
It's a good one.
Woody Guthrie. Right?
Yep.
There are less great Woodies also.
Yeah, maybe you buried the lead on the downsides of my name with that one.
No, we're going to focus on positive Woodies for you.
Yeah, Harrelson, great actor.
Mm-hmm. And is Woody your given name, or is it a little nickname?
It's a nickname, but it's the only thing anybody's called me my whole life. So I got one. Okay. I got one of those where I've got a completely unused given name.
I hear you. So tell me, my friend, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I got one for the topic, but I also wanted to make a little declaration. Not a bit.
What do you got?
I just want to say that, you know, I've defended her in the past, but I gotta my friend Caitlin, also from Rochester, I gotta let her go on her own and find her own way at this point.
You're cutting her loose.
Not so much. I think she's just, you know, she's gotta live or die on her own merits, you know?
Sure, because Caitlin, look, I like, you're referring to a caller, Caitlin, who calls and Caitlin goes for it when Caitlin calls.
That's true.
I like it. I gotta say, I like it. Sometimes I cap out, but I like it. I like Caitlin. And Caitlin likes the show, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she loves the show. Talks to me about it all the time. Was so excited when, you know, told me that she called, and then I listened to it last week, and I'm like, you know, I don't think she needs anybody's help. I think it's,
Yeah, Caitlin's doing her thing. You do your thing, Woody. Caitlin's going to do Caitlin's thing.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Sometimes I wonder, because Caitlin comes on with some strong energy, and it makes me think I'm being goofed on. As if it's somebody who doesn't like the show and is going like, oh, I love it. You're so funny. Yeah. Oh, the show's my favorite.
I think it might be she's a little nervous, and that's how she copes with that.
That's fine. I get it. We all got our styles.
Sure.
So to what do I, what else you got other than the Caitlin thing? Now you've broken rank with Caitlin.
Yeah.
Which is going to tear things up in Rochester, right? It's going to be all the talk. There's probably going to be some sort of, council meeting over it.
Yeah. The council is going to convene, and it's going to be a whole mess, and I'm going to have to sign some kind of detente agreement.
Mm-hmm. So there must be something else that made you call tonight.
That's right. I, maybe it's not going to make the list, but I just want to make a case for popcorn from the air popper, the air popcorn you make at home as a snack.
Air popped popcorn. Now just clue me in here.
So now,
how are you making it? What are you putting on it? Because air pop popcorn can sometimes be just like empty food, empty calories, unless you do something with it.
Oh, you can, I mean, the thing is you can do anything with it, but to prepare it, there's no mess, and you can decide the level of grossness you want to add to it. I totally destroy it with some real, butter and, you know, salt, and sometimes you can go crazy, you can throw a little rosemary in there.
Alright, so you're putting some rosemary and butter on that thing and some salt.
Sure. You know, you keep it simple, but the thing is that it's, you know, it's fast, it's, you know, I prefer it to, you get those, microwave bags, and they're all, you know, you got, that's like you take what you get, and whatever they're putting on there, there's not much else you can do with it, but the air popper, you know, it turns you into a little popcorn chef. I mean, I don't want to come off like, you know, like Brett, but I like making my own popcorn.
You're saying Brett from Double Threat, the show I do with the amazing Julie Klausner. Well, there's only one. Yeah. It's not like there's a non-amazing Julie Klausner out there. There's one Julie Klausner.
True. She's amazing. I just rewatched all of Difficult People. Such a great show.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
You know, but I'll leave the glazes and the rubs to Brett, and I'll just make a little popcorn, you know.
Sure, I gotcha. So you got your thing, you got your glazes and your rubs, that you do. You do your own version of glazes and rubs where you're whipping up some butter and rosemary and salt and putting that on top of your air pop popcorn. Where should we put air pop? What, 49? It still kind of sucks, right? That's not an actual, what do you think? What do you think, Mike?
Popcorn?
Air pop pop, like,
oh, like this. Not without butter.
No, he's putting butter on
popcorn.
He's putting some butter. He's putting butter on it.
The healthiness is not the concern. I like that it's customizable. It feels like you made something, you know. It's the bag popcorn can be pretty gross. Make you feel gross, you know.
Yeah, no,
like
bag popcorn is terrible.
A bag full of chemicals.
Fresh popcorn to me is high. I'd say top 25.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah.
All right. 36.
Thank you, Tom.
Air pop popcorn. Look, I get the appeal of it. I like reaching my mitt into a bowl of popcorn just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And when you want it, when you got the taste for it, it's great. I just don't always have the taste for that. You ever counter popcorn with something else, like something more sweet? You ever try that?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, you were talking earlier. I like some chocolate covered almonds. I like some, I like peanut butter cups.
Well, here's the thing. Let me say this, Woody. I would often, there were things called movie theaters, right? They were buildings that projected movies. And you could go to them and watch a specific movie. And I would go to these movie theaters. And you couldn't go with a remote and flip around or just watch a television show. They picked the movie too. That's the other thing. They picked out the movie. So you'd go there, yeah. You'd watch the movie that they picked out. So I would often, if I would get popcorn, I'd get popcorn and I'd get a bag of peanut M&Ms. And I reach in, I grab both. You ever do that? You ever get a mouthful of peanut M&Ms and popcorn?
I've done it, Tom. I remember those weird old buildings where you sit in the dark and you watch a movie with a bunch of strangers and, you know, your only consolation is a big bucket of popcorn with some peanut M&Ms in there.
Now we'll put this on. Where's this? This guy's at 36, Pat.
Currently.
36. Air Pop Popcorn is 36 because it's the Marcus Smart of desserts, meaning that it's reliable but annoying, and and it's not as good as people think it is. So it's like Marcus Smart. 35 is like the old Kevin Durant, the old that's his old uniform number. 35 peanut M&Ms and Air Pop Popcorn combo. That's 35.
Sounds great. Sounds like a good snack to go see Uncut Gems.
Yeah, but that's not playing in a theater.
No, it's not.
I gotta go talk to somebody about a time machine.
I was thinking Kevin Garnett.
Yes. Well, Kevin Garnett, what is his uniform number again? 8?
I don't know.
Was he 8? Great guy, Kevin Garnett.
Am I saying 35 is peanut M&Ms with air popped popcorn?
Peanut M&Ms and air popped popcorn. 36 air popped popcorn. And then peanut M&Ms are going to be their own thing. It'll be high on the list.
The concentrated pure alpha form or whatever.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Woody. Anything else, Woody?
No, I'm going to pre-order your book, of course.
Thank you. Thank you, Woody.
Can't wait to read it.
Have a great night. Thank
you.
You too. I appreciate it. Yeah, I recorded this audiobook. It's one of the hardest things I ever did. Because, look, I talk about all sorts of stuff in this. I'm not going to talk about it now. But, like, you know, talking about my dad dying. And then I'm, like, in the thing, and I'm like, and then I found out my dad died. All right, let's do it again. And then I found out my dad died. I think we got a little bit of a click there on the thing. Can you do? And then we found out my dad died. Ah, great. Okay, now let's do the next line. I'll play in on it. And I listen in headphones. It's me saying, and then I found out my dad died. And then I flub that line. It's like, I'll play in again. Then I found out my, It's a weird experience. But you know what? It's done, and it's going to be good. And I read my own book. July 6th. It never ends. So give me another call, please, Pat. Best show, hi.
Hi, this is David.
David, where are you calling from?
Oh, I am calling from Eastern Connecticut.
You're calling from Eastern Connecticut?
Yeah.
What's the biggest city in Eastern Connecticut?
Willimantic. Okay. That's where our mall is.
That's where the mall is, eh?
Yeah.
What do they got at that mall? What are they? Well, what's your favorite thing at that mall? Dick's Sporting Goods. What do you like? Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Movie theater.
The movie theater. Is it open again, or is it opening soon? What's up?
No. It is partially open.
What do you mean it's partially open? You got the door. You got to step through it sideways or something?
Yeah, no, actually, I'm not actually sure of the status of its reopening, and I was kind of just fudging the truth.
You could have just said that. You could have just said, I don't know.
I've never been on the air before. It's way more nerve-wracking than I thought.
It's okay, my friend. And what is your name again? Keith? What is it?
David.
Mm-hmm. David,
yeah.
Keith.
So I have
great
something.
Actor.
Oops, sorry.
Who's your favorite actor, David Keith or Keith David?
Keith Carradine.
Keith Carradine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, David, it's all right, buddy. You're here with me. We're pals. Just relax. Okay?
Thank you.
So what can I do for you? What do you got? You got some snacks for the topic?
Yeah, I have a list of snacks. So the first one I was thinking
give me the highlights. What do you got?
Okay. Would you like the list delivered bullet item or list with rationale following it?
How many things are on this list of yours? Six. Give me the best three.
Okay. Apple with peanut butter.
Apple with peanut butter is pretty good. 40.
Wow.
It's the best 50 snacks. Wow. You know how many snacks are out there? There's like a million.
Wow.
So it made top 40.
Thank you. You've made my night.
Oh, wow. Well, because initially you sounded bummed.
No. That was like a quiet kind of gasp.
Oh, like you were, okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, like wow.
So it's kind of like 2001, A Space Odyssey. You just saw the monolith, and it was awe.
Yep.
You were overcome with something of the magnitude of which your brain can't comprehend.
Yes. I will be processing this for a while tonight.
Gotcha. What else you got?
Okay.
Because an apple with peanut butter, you're talking apple slices. You're not talking a whole lot. You're cutting that apple up, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't be weird. Now, you're not going to be weird and smear peanut butter all over an apple you're biting into.
Well,
don't tell me you're smearing peanut butter on the outside of an apple.
No.
Let's say it's the accepted version of this will be apple slices that can be dipped into peanut butter.
Yes. Let's
you want to just do some weird thing where you get a mouthful of peanut butter, then you're biting into an apple. Whatever you do, you do that on your own time.
Okay, I'll keep the weird parts to myself.
Thank you.
Okay.
What else you got?
Okay.
You can buy my book?
Yes. It's in my it's in my cart right now on bookshop.org.
All right. It's in the cart. Still couldn't pull the trigger, huh?
Well, I can't find the wallet right now. So that's it's gonna happen though. Now it's on the air. It's
good. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to reading it. Thank you.
So what's number two of your list of the top three snacks?
Okay. Dry Lucky Charms.
No way.
Okay. Fair enough.
Lucky Charms. Look, I when it comes to cereal, I don't know. There can be, I picture there could be a snack cereal on here, but ain't gonna be Lucky Charms. Just go eat some candy. If you want Lucky Charms, you're an adult. Go eat candy.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms bridge the gap when you're a kid. You can't just go get candy. See, Lucky Charms, you're an adult now. Go get some candy. Does that make sense?
You
with me on that, Chief?
Yeah.
Same page?
Yeah, I sound, right. Yes.
Go get some candy. Yeah. All right. What else? What's the third one?
Okay. It's kind of bland, but very useful. The kind of boiled egg you can get at a Wawa or Quick Trip and a go. It's very nutritious. Put a little salt on it.
No. That's, I don't know. I don't want to be the way these people are with the pineapple pizza about these things, but I don't know. That feels like more of like a small meal. Feels like a small meal than a snack. What is a snack? I think we have to define what a snack is, actually. You bring up a good point. What is a snack to you, Dave?
Okay. To me, a snack is something that's, so definitely not a meal. It can be functional.
Like that guy was saying crab rangoon. You can only get that at a restaurant.
Yes. Yeah.
Snack has to be the kind of thing you run in and you run in and get it at a convenience store. That's one of the parts of a snack.
Yes. Good point.
It can't only be available at a restaurant.
And maybe, I think when you said with the crab rangoon, you can't just put that in your pocket easily. It's messy, a snack, maybe you can make it, but there's an on-the-go quality to them, perhaps. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Okay. Yeah, they're exactly. There's potentially, there's an immediacy to a snack.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, definitely. Thinking of all the snacks. Yes.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere. Now what do you got? Yeah. Give me a different third one because your hard-boiled egg ain't going to do it.
Okay. That is kind of a meal replacement. So, all right. How about Stroopwafel?
You're on target with that.
Okay.
I enjoy Stroopwafels. Now, for people who don't know, the Stroopwafel is a smushed kind of like pressed. It's like a pressed waffle type syrup thing, right?
Hmm.
That you're supposed to put on top of a hot cup of coffee and it softens it.
As best I understand.
That's how you are supposed to eat a Stroopwafel, right?
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. You don't want to do it too early on in the steeping process. If you have like a long steeping tea, like 10 minutes, 12 minutes, because then it will melt a little bit depending on the Stroopwafel you get. But, just a little bit warm, a little bit melted. Like little discs there. They're quite tasty, and, they have ones that aren't too sugary if you're trying to avoid sugar.
Look, Stroopwafel is a proper contender for the list. Stroopwafel don't make the list.
Thank you.
We tried. Thanks, buddy. Next call, please. Best show. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the best show.
Hi.
And I want to say also that I think we're going to wrap it up in 20 or so minutes. This audiobook really knocked me around. Recording that audiobook really knocked me around.
Awful.
But here we go. To whom am I speaking?
This is Kelly from Fargo.
Kelly from Fargo.
Yes.
How are you tonight, Kelly?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited.
This is very exciting, and it's exciting to have you here. Well, what's going on tonight in Fargo?
Not much. I was just listening to the show and I actually was eating some Stroopwafels.
Really?
Yes, with some tea.
You're getting a Stroopwafel and tea?
Yeah.
All right. You put it over the teacup and you let the steam kind of soften it up?
Oh, yeah.
That is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Is a Stroopwafel what you were calling about?
No, I actually had two ideas for a snack.
Okay. What do you got, Kelly?
Okay. My first one is a personal favorite. It is the peanut butter M&M. I think it's the perfect candy.
Well, Kelly, I got to say this. You and I were cut from the same cloth. Peanut M&M, number 3.
But not the peanut butter M&M?
No, not the peanut butter M&M. Those are weird.
Oh, I respectfully disagree with you there.
You're saying a peanut butter M&M?
Yeah.
No, I can't. I can't. A peanut M&M, a peanut butter M&M, they're fine, but they're a little weird. You got to admit they're a little weird.
Yeah, but I like them. I like the crunchiness.
They're fine.
But, But I respect the peanut M&M. It's my dad's favorite candy, so.
Your dad's favorite candy is a peanut M&M.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do it for old Papa, right? Old Papa. Tell your father. Is your father still, is he still with us?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
No, thank God. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. You treasure every day with your old Papa.
I do.
Good. Is he far away? Do you get to physically see your dad?
He's less than an hour away from me. So okay. I see him all the time.
Well, how about this for a little surprise? When's the last time you saw, when you saw dad? When's the last time?
Oh, I think it was last weekend.
Well, how about this?
Wasn't it? Yeah.
You drive on out to the house. Right?
Yeah.
You drive on out with a bag of peanut M&Ms. A big bag. Not one of these single serve bags. You go get the bag that's made to fill up a candy bowl. Family size. You bring that thing and you open it up. You drive out at like 11 o'clock at night, okay?
And then you start whip.
What's that?
He's been in bed for hours.
But this is a good thing. He's in bed already. You start whipping him at his window, at his bedroom window, right? Here's clank. What's that? Bonk. What's that? Then he looks out. He sees his daughter, Kelly, throwing peanut M&Ms at the window. Then you go on in. And the two of you sit down, you eat the entirety of the bag in one sitting.
We could do it, definitely.
Yeah.
He has a sweet tooth for sure.
Yeah. I bet you the apple don't fall far from the tree, right?
Definitely not. No, I love sweets.
Yeah, me too. It's my undoing, Kelly. They're my undoing.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
So I would say this. So peanut M&Ms. Look, peanut butter M&Ms. It's like if you put down just crunch berries. Like you like just crunch berries. I think we got to go by that. I think we got to go a little standard on the M&M thing and consider that at its core there are two kinds of M&Ms: plain and peanut. All the other ones are variant. And I don't know if we're going to have room for variants on this list. Maybe we'll make room for the hazelnut. Maybe we'll make room for the coffee M&Ms. Maybe we'll make room for your beloved peanut butter M&Ms. But right now.
I understand.
Peanut M&Ms are flying that flag with the old John Starks number, 3. 3 is the magic number when it comes to peanut M&Ms.
I understand. Okay, I can get behind that.
And what else you got? You got something else?
I do have one more, and I wonder if you'll say the same thing. But okay. I really like the chocolate-covered Oreos, particularly the white chocolate or the white fudge-covered ones that come out at Christmas.
Well, my friend, Kelly, and I'm going to call you friend. I think we're friends now. Maybe lowercase F. We're not actual friends. Like, you're not going to come help me fix a flat tire.
You'd be out of luck.
Sorry?
I can't fix a flat tire.
Okay. Well, what could you do if I needed help?
I'm a good listener.
You're a good listener. Great. I could use a listener sometimes. Literally and figuratively. So I'll say this. You are now suggesting white chocolate covered Oreos.
Or just chocolate covered.
Or chocolate covered. Well, let's just go with chocolate covered.
Okay. And
Kelly, you're not going to believe this.
Okay.
42.
Oh, chocolate, that's a good covered number. Oreos. Yeah.
42.
I like it.
Yeah. You did it. You done did it. So what's going on? How are things out in Fargo? Well, what's a standard Saturday night in Fargo?
I don't know if I'm the right judge of that. I don't know. I suppose maybe going to the bar or something if it was, but I wouldn't be doing that.
What do you like to do there? What do you go? You hang out in the Target parking lot? What are you doing?
I mean, you could do that. I tend to be at home on Saturday nights, but
okay.
All right. There are things to do in Fargo. It's not as small as you think.
I'm just asking. I'm not making fun. I'm asking.
Yeah.
I would say probably
the bigger part of the population might be out at a bar, I think would be fair to say.
They'd be at a bar, and then if it's Saturday night, you got to get ready because Sunday, everybody knows, is rodeo time, right? Big rodeo day.
I mean, you know, maybe the rest of North Dakota, but not really Fargo so much.
Okay. And are you mad at the movie Fargo? Do you feel that movie misrepresented your city?
I actually do like Fargo, the movie, quite a bit. I think they got kind of like the spirit of the place, especially of rural Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. I appreciate the movie. Yeah.
Okay. And then comparatively, the show? That show ain't so good.
You know,
all these people are like, the show Fargo is so good. It's not that good.
I think I watched the season with Ewan McGregor in it, and I kind of abandoned it close to the end for some reason. I just kind of forgot to watch it anymore. So I guess I didn't really like it all that much.
It's always the hallmark of a great show is that you forget to watch it.
Yeah. Like you just kind of forgot to watch it and you just never started watching it again.
Wow, Kelly, you're a good caller. You call back anytime you want.
Well, thank you. I know.
You're going to order my book? You're going to buy my book?
For sure. My husband and I are going to buy two of them so we could read it at the same time.
Well, that's and talk good. About I like it. That. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're going to in the next week, I think it'll be up. TomWroteABook.com. You go over and you show that you pre-ordered it. Then you'll get a signed book plate.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do that for sure.
Or you just get the book. Whatever you want to do.
I think I'm going to do that.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly. You have a grand evening.
Yeah. Great talking to you, Tom.
Okay. Same here. All right. Bye. Yeah. How many calls we got, Pat? How many calls left?
We got two, but what was 42? You said 42, but I didn't hear what it was.
42 would be chocolate-covered Oreos. And I would hope at some point we would get Michelle the Oreo head in here to weigh in on Oreo placement. This list will go on for weeks. This is not a one-night wonder.
But we filled some slots.
Sorry?
But we filled some slots.
We filled some slots.
Here's line four.
Thank you, Pat. Best show, hi. Hello, hi, best show. Hello? Hello? Hello?
I'm going to switch you to line three.
Is there anybody out there?
I dumped him. Here's line three.
Best show, hi. Hello, hi, best show.
Hello, this is Jeffrey in Ottawa. How are you?
Jeffrey in Ottawa?
Yes, Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Correct.
One of the finest cities and one of the finest provinces and one of the finest current countries.
Have you been here?
To Canada?
To Ottawa.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I think I might have been in Ottawa. I don't know. I maybe not.
It's forgettable.
I hear good things.
Mm-hmm, don't believe them.
Your perspective, what's the best thing about Ottawa and what's the worst thing about Ottawa?
It's one and the same. It's like a cheat answer. Like you give it a job interview for your strengths or weaknesses. It's mm-hmm. like it's very calm and relaxing. You know, that's the strength and the weakness. It's boring, but that's the, you know, that's what you need sometimes.
And I want to say this, and speaking of job things, you know, when they do these job interviews and you go and they're like, so what do you want to be doing? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know what you say if you want the job?
What?
Five years I'll be dead. This is what you say. In 5 years I'll be dead because I gave this job everything I had and it killed me. But it was the greatest thing I ever did with my life. That's what you say. And you got that job in the bag. Where do you see yourself in five? Here, practice with me. You pretend you're interviewing me for a job.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Thomas?
Oh, 5 years? 5 years I'll be dead. But it's because I gave everything to this job. This job will literally kill me because I gave it everything I had. And you guys got the best 4.5 years of my life. All I ask is that you buy me some flowers at my funeral. That's all I ask. Well, but other than that, I'm ready to give this job everything I've got. I'm ready to kill for this job.
Ooh.
Literally. So when do I start?
Well, we have a few more interviews to conduct, but...
No, you don't.
Oh. Persuasive. How's Monday?
Yeah. How's Monday? How's now?
Oh,
walk me to my office. And then I poke.
Oh,
then
my.
I tap my side as if I might have a gun on me.
Well, we have more of an open concept office. We want our employees to share ideas and communicate.
Not for me.
Not for me.
Oh. Where's my office?
Well,
And introduce me to my assistant. Where's my assistant?
Well, this is Daniel. He can type 70.
Daniel, I'm hungry. Daniel, I'm hungry. Go get me some food. I want a bowl of mashed potatoes. And I'm telling you, Daniel, if you put gravy on them, you're going to regret it.
There's a commissary in the third floor. We're all going to head down.
Yeah, you might head down. I'll be up here working. I got work to do. If this job's going to kill me, I got to get to work now.
5 years to prove yourself.
Thank you. And then I get the job. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, my friend?
I want to humbly submit the bulk store barbecue corn chip to the snack list.
The bulk store barbecue corn chip. Now, this is an interesting thing. Barbecue, there's a lot of chips out there that are over-flavored to where when you eat them, you're like, oh, my God, this is so good. And then you feel like you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes later.
Yes.
Is that a good snack?
Too artificial.
Or a bad snack? Does that mean the snack was so good that that's the effect it had?
Well,
or does that mean it's not good?
Well, that's what's great about the bulk store. You can moderate how the quantity that you take with you. And maybe it's cheap enough that you don't, I don't know, eat the whole thing. And once you walk away with a twist tie and you can put it right back on there and pretend you have some self-control.
And tell me about this bulk store. What is the, how bulky is this bulk store we're going to? Is this stuff that's just like slightly off market, or is this stuff that, was abandoned at the airport that they're doing weird clearance with?
No, I think the deceit of the bulk store is that you believe that it's cheaper because you're buying in bulk, but it works out to being the exact same price as if you bought something from some major corporation. So the quality is just as good, and the price is just as high, but there's just an illusion of control.
Sure, sure. So you buy how big is the bag of chips you're buying at the bulk store?
Well, smaller than, you know, the Frito-Lay company would give to me, allegedly. but not so petite that I would be hungry afterwards. I mean, I always get too much, more than I should have. But, you know, that's what a good snack is. It's something that you always eat a little bit too much of, I think.
That is the earmark of a good snack.
If you don't eat enough. Yeah,
you don't know when to stop, and
then it's not a good
go a little bit past where you should have gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sorry. I'm on team snack must have a crunch to it.
So you like a savory snack?
I guess so. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I don't know what you call something that's sweet. Is that a treat?
No, it's a snack. It's a snack. It's a sweet snack or a savory snack. They're all snacks.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of personal taste when you come down to it.
What's a sweet snack that you like up there? What's a sweet snack you like?
Well, okay, this is a little hoity-toity, but I like Medjool dates. It's like nature's candy. It's like a big raisin, but I wouldn't eat it.
Oh, I know what dates. I know what dates are.
Peanuts or almonds. Well, I don't know how things work.
You Ottawa fancy pants people might think. The rest of us slobs don't have access to dates.
Yeah,
we do.
Persian cuisine thing.
You ever have a date shake? You ever have a date shake?
I've dropped a date into a smoothie that I've made, but I don't know what a date shake is, no.
You ever have a vanilla shake?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay, well, just imagine that, but made with dates.
Huh. Okay, I'm imagining it.
You go out to, they do this thing called Coachella, right? Out in the desert in California?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll say this about that. You couldn't pay me to go to something like that. The best thing that they have to offer out there, date shakes. They got these places, mm-hmm. They sell these date shakes. Number 15, date shakes, please.
I think you mean bulk store barbecue corn chips.
No, bulk store barbecue corn chips go at, I think you might be on your own with that, Chief.
Sorry, 15 is date
shake.
What is it?
Date, D-A-T-E, like the fruit in a shake, like a shake made with dates.
I got you.
Yeah.
When I think of
they're
Coachella,
so sweet.
I think
they're so sweet. They're so good. I could go for a date shake right now.
I think of like concerts where there were just four bands playing and how tired I got of standing for 4 hours. I can't imagine going to a festival at this point.
Can you imagine? We got to get our legs back. We don't have festival strength now.
Did you see any amazing festivals when you, I mean, when I was a teenager, I went to festivals and I saw some great things that I had the stamina for, but now I can't imagine. Did you ever experience any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Coachella. It was not, maybe not for me. I don't know. I don't know if I had the, I don't know. I've been to festivals. I've been to things. It's not the greatest way to see a show. It's a great way to show up if you got a checklist and you could say you saw 30 different artists. You get to say you saw them. It's like you didn't see them in ideal circumstances, but you were in the same place that they were in when they played.
Did you ever get won over by a band that you didn't think you would like, but then you saw them play live at a festival and you did like them?
No. I can't think of one. I mean, maybe I don't know. I can't think of one.
It happened
to
me.
That's the whole thing with festivals is it's you got to make choices. So you're making choices. You're not going and saying like, well, I'll go watch this thing I don't know anything about, because you're going to see something you want to see. Because you gotta make choices.
Well, I saw Trey Cool set his drums on fire, and Green Day won me over. I wasn't a fan before that. I mean,
the only way I'd want to see Trey Cool set his drums on fire if it was before they played a single song. That'd be my ideal Green Day show. Green Day come out, Trey Cool sets his drums on fire, and then they go, "Well, we can't play any of our not very good songs tonight because drum set burnt up. Thanks for coming out, everybody."
I would defend the Dookie and the Insomniac songs, but to each his own, obviously.
The Green Day got one song that they got one perfect song. The song,
which
what's
is,
that song called? Waiting?
Maybe.
Pat, you know that song, Waiting?
Not off the top of my head. What album is it on?
I couldn't tell you. Mike, do you know that song, Waiting?
I just know Tom Petty's The Waiting.
Yeah, those are different songs. Waiting. Live. What's his voice like? I've been waiting a lifetime. It's a good power pop song.
It's off the album Minority. Is that right?
Pat, you could say it was off the album,
Warning.
Warning. You could say it was on Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water, and I'd have to take your word for it. Let's hear a little bit of it. Let's see if this is still. There's a volume on this thing. For anything at all. Downtown, lights will be shining on me like a new diamond ring out under the midnight hour. Well, no one can touch me now. Well, and I get to my bed, it's too late, ready or not at all. Well, I'm so much closer than I have ever known. Wake up! Dawning. Yeah, it's a good song. I like that song.
Not bad, eh?
So you're a big fan. You're a big Green Day fan. I played their best song. You think that's not bad?
Well, I mean, best is subjective. Listen, the point is sometimes you like a band for a while and then, you know, time goes on.
Yeah, well, my friend, I got to say to you, you did a great call tonight. You did Ottawa proud tonight.
Thank you.
You showed them how you do it. You showed them how you do it up there. Now, tomorrow when you're at the, where are you going to go tomorrow? To the Chapters bookstore?
Chapters Indigo, I believe it's called.
Yes, Chapters Indigo,
yes.
Which is a great thing when you're from the United States and you go there and you're like, this book is $40?
Mm-hmm.
Something got to pay with the CA on the back of the book. Speaking of book, you still going to buy my book?
It's already been pre-ordered. Okay. And today I found out that Danny Trejo's book is coming out the same day.
Oh, I wish you didn't tell me that. It's going to be me versus Trejo. I didn't want it to come to this. But here's a warning. Thank you. I'm glad this is coming out now. Danny Trejo, I'll say this. Your book sucks, bruh, compared to mine. Your book sucks. Sorry, Trejo. Trejo. Trejo, you might be, I'll take your book. I'll take a machete to your book. Guy's known for playing machete. I'll get a machete. I'll chop your book in half. What do you think about that, Trejo? I like him. I like Danny Trejo.
He's great. He'll do anything.
That's not why I like him. You don't think I'll do anything? I'll do anything.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I'll say this. You don't see me walking around wearing a shirtless with a vest on. You stick to walking around shirtless without a vest on and acting in the things you act in. I'm going to cover things with the book over here. You don't come to my side of the street. I don't come to your side of the street. So I respectfully ask you, Danny Trejo, withdraw your book from publication. Withdraw it. Just not on July 6th. Me versus Trejo. I kind of knew.
L.A. gang war.
In the back of my mind, I knew it was coming down to this. He's got a donut shop in L.A. He's got all this stuff. God bless you, Trejo. You went one step too far with the book. All right, now you bum me out.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll survive. Thank you, buddy. You have a great night.
You too.
Any other calls, Pat?
There are, but I both gave them the...
Let's wrap it up. We got to wrap it up.
I gave them the, you know, where this topic will continue spiel, so...
Yeah, and I think that's going to hold. We're going to hold to our thing. I don't want to get sick. That's the whole thing. Look, am I sick in the head? Yeah, I am sick. I'm sick. I don't want to get physically sick. I don't want to wear myself down, and I'm coming close. My voice is pretty beat up from all the talking. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up a little early this week. And we'll be back next week with more of the top 50 best snacks ever. And I think we might have a guest next week too. We'll see.
Tom, I'm just checking out the advanced praise for the Trejo book.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry to break this to you, but AP Mike has a quote on here.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I also recorded the audiobook. I put an extra thing in for Mike in the audiobook. I said, I love you, Mike.
I wanted to try and get it in, but maybe we should just keep teasing it. People want to hear the New Orleans strip club story. But, you know, this was a very wholesome show. I don't want to drive it into the ditch at the end. So maybe we'll find another opportunity.
We might just have
we'll find another opportunity for your New Orleans what?
Strip club story. Better Business Bureau story.
Oh, that's right. You called the Better Business Bureau on a strip club or something.
Yeah.
It might have to be a Patreon exclusive.
Yeah. Somebody else's Patreon.
Danny Trejo. So,
Danny, put it on Trejo's Patreon.
What did I say in that blurb for the Trejo book? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's short, but it's nice. It actually made me want. I just pre-ordered it because it was.
Oh well, that's great. Thanks, Pat.
I think I said he kept it real.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping it real.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping it real, Danny Trejo. Look, I like Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
But the way things are looking, there might be a shoving match at Book Soup on July 6th. Me and Trejo might be throwing down at Book Soup.
There's somebody else. I blanked out. I got to look into it. Somebody else has a book out like a week before yours as well. And totally opposite. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it would be ironic. Yeah. If you met on the book, signing trail.
Well. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see, Mike. And look, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Pat. Jason Dudio Gore on assignment. He'll be back next week. And we salute everybody. And you go to TomWroteABook.com and pre-order the book. You go to the Patreon, patreon.com/thebestshow. Going to do another Ask Tom. We'll put that up in the next week. That'll go up there. And some other stuff will go up, too. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. We will be back next week, and I thank all of you for being who you are and doing what you do, and I will do more of it, and you will do more of it. On the way out, we're going to play a little bit of what? Nothing. Bye.